Nabi v. Mukasey. Mr. Mariner.
May it please the Court. My name is Paul Mariner and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Slimane Ben Nabi. The issue in this case is whether record evidence compels finding that Mr. Ben Nabi is statutorily eligible for the relief of withholding of removal, either by proving, establishing past persecution, or by proving that it's more likely than not that he will be persecuted if he is removed to Algeria. If all evidence on record is considered, this court should find that Mr. Ben Nabi has satisfied this high burden of proof, and his application for withholding removal should be granted. The facts in this case should be accepted as testified by the petitioner, since the immigration judge fully credited his testimony and there is no adverse credibility finding. Thus, he testified that he is a Berber, born and raised in Algeria. He was engaged in a wholesale merchandise business in the city of Kabylia, which is about 100 miles away from the capital city, and that he was encountered on numerous occasions by Islamic militants who demanded that he paid money for their so-called revolution. He opposed, he never paid because he was opposed to their ideology. He specifically testified for three occasions. The first happened at a nearby cafe to his business, the second at his business, and the third one, which was the most serious and dangerous, happened at his business when two people from the Islamic militant groups approached him and asked him to and demanded money. He again refused to pay the money, at which point they threatened to kill him. At this time, he left the business, abandoned the business, and returned to his family in the capital city of Algeria. He never came back to his business until the time he arrived in the States as a tourist in 1999. He testified that he is still afraid to go back to Algeria because his name is on the terrorist list. He keeps contact with the current situation and conditions in Algeria through internet and through his family. The real question in this case is whether the threats and the extortion attempts rise to the level of past persecution as defined by this court. The immigration judge found that they did not. Analyzing cases on point, the immigration judge mentioned that he was never physically harmed, there was no weapon used when all these threats happened, therefore it was just mere harassment. However, the law in this circuit is clear that even threats under proper circumstances could constitute past persecution. The Mitte versus INS court that decided in 1995, the court in Boyko versus INS in 1997 repeated that threats could constitute past persecution, but in the vast majority of cases threats are not sufficient. So what are these proper circumstances? And the Mitte court emphasized that the context that should be considered, that's the foremost consideration when all these threats are considered. We have the 1990s Algeria, when, as evidenced by the condition reports, between 100,000 and 100,050 people were killed.
Yeah, but isn't the civil war over now?
The violence has been greatly reduced, as indicated by the condition reports, true. As long as violence still occurs, yes, it does. Particularly recently, there's been increase in violence, there's been some bombings. But
there's less violence, and isn't the, I'm thinking of our Hoare case, isn't there, with a much lower level of violence, isn't it much easier for the government to protect these people who are targeted by the Islamic extremists?
Logically, the answer should be yes. However, Even the country condition reports indicate that violence still persists, particularly in rural areas. And again, I think that the petitioner was deprived of this powerful rebuttal presumption of future persecution because the immigration judge erred in finding that he did not suffer past persecution. there are cases from other circuits that find that extortion attempts, if on protected grounds, may constitute past persecution, like the case of Jihad versus INS from 2004 from the Ninth Circuit, in which Jihad, who was a former Mujahideen from Iran, was recognized by one of the Revolutionary Guards, and the Revolutionary Guard threatened to report him to the Iranian government unless he paid the money. He did not. He applied for asylum, and the Ninth Circuit agreed that this extortion attempt constituted past persecution. The case was based on Gonzalez versus Neira from 1997, again from the Ninth Circuit, in which in Peru a small business owner was threatened from a guerrilla group to pay the money. He opposed their ideology. He refused to pay the money, and they threatened to kill him and destroy his business. Again, the Ninth Circuit found that this attempt constituted past persecution.
Now, did this man report these threats to the police?
He did not. He testified that at that point, in 1998, the Algerian government was not able to protect ordinary people.
Well, are these extortionists just kind of on their own? Just because they can get away with it? Come in, demand money? You don't call the police, they wouldn't come anyway or something or other? What is it?
In this particular case, he did not report to the police.
What's the connection between, obviously, these, he thinks they don't like his religion, but they basically want money, don't they?
Sure, they want money.
But what's the government have to do with that, or is there any, or not doing anything about it, or if you don't report it, how are you going to get protected, or at least attempt?
Your Honor, when the violence is such well spread that we talk about tens of thousands of people killed.
Okay. But it's hard to single him out. It seems that's just the way the whole country is.
I think he was. If you're threatened on at least three occasions with extortion, and if you're threatened with death, and because you refuse to pay the money, and you let your oppressors know that you're against their ideology, I think that distinguishes him from the crowd. It's true, a lot of people were taxed, as evidenced by the country condition reports, with this revolutionary money. And it's indicated in the record that if you don't pay, you can get hurt. But in this case, I think he was singled out because of this individualized attempts to extort money from him and threaten to kill him. In addition, even if these attempts do not rise to the level of persecution, of past persecution, he has established that it's more likely than not that he would be...
You're into your rebuttal time now.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marinoff. Ms. Morrow?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Erin Morrow, and I represent the government. Because petitioner's belated asylum application is jurisdictionally barred, and because Mr. Benabi has since abandoned his CAT claim, the issue in this case is a single, straightforward one. Has petitioner met his burden of proof for withholding of removal? That is, has petitioner proven that the record compels the conclusion that it is more likely than not that he will be subject to persecution if returned to his home country? Under this court's precedent, the answer to that question is clearly no. The agency's determination is supported by substantial evidence for two reasons. First, petitioner failed to prove, and the agency correctly concluded, that the persecution alleged, or that the harm alleged by Mr. Benabi simply does not rise to the level of persecution. And second, persecution is something that is done by the government. The Algerian government neither committed nor condoned the third-party activity at issue in this case, and petitioner has not proven that they are utterly helpless to protect him. Petitioner focuses his brief and his oral argument today on past persecution, but this court has stated that past persecution is an extreme concept. It must be proven by detailed, specific evidence. It must rise above the level of harassment, and it must be sufficiently severe. despite petitioner's testimony today, the testimony in the record is at best vague. Petitioner testified initially that he was threatened on many occasions. When pressed for further details, petitioner testified that he'd been threatened, quote, something like three times. When again pressed for further details, petitioner could identify only two rather than three circumstances where he had been threatened. Once occurred at his business, and once at a cafe near his business. Furthermore, petitioner testified that he was never harmed. Indeed, when petitioner came to this country, he decided not to file an asylum application because, in his view, he wanted to return to Algeria. 6 years later, in 2005, when petitioner finally got around to filing that asylum application, he did not even mention the threats that now form the basis for his past persecution claim. When asked by the immigration judge why he'd overlooked to mention them, petitioner testified, because nothing happened to me, nothing besides these threats. Your Honors, under this court's precedent, such undetailed allegations of threats do not rise to the level of persecution, particularly where, as petitioner acknowledges, in the general case, threats are simply insufficient. They must be, quote, extreme circumstances and of a particularly menacing or immediate nature. But again, as petitioner's own conduct in this case suggests, those threats were not immediate. Petitioner remained in the country for about a year after receiving the death threat, and there is no indication that the Islamic fundamentalists that he thought gave him the threat ever attempted to follow up on those threats. Petitioner returned to his hometown in Algiers, and there is no indication that they followed him there or ever attempted to contact his family. Indeed, as the agency recognized, petitioner's parents and his three brothers still reside in Algiers, apparently unharmed. I'd also like to follow up on the point made by petitioner today that Mr. Manavi at no point gave the government a chance to protect him. On page 114 of the record, petitioner acknowledged that the Algerian government was doing what it could to protect its citizens. The 2004 state country reports at the administrative record 132 through 134 acknowledges that the violence has decreased and that the security forces have driven the terrorists outside of the populated areas into the rural areas. Despite all this evidence that Algeria is trying to protect its citizens, petitioner did not give them a chance to do so, and his claim should fail for that reason as well. If Your Honors have no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morrow. Marinov, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Anything further? That's it.
Just three quick points. First, I think that the standard is clearly established in the circuit that to satisfy withholding the removal claim, the petitioner must prove that the government is either unable or unwilling to control the violence. And I think in this case, the sheer number of casualties between 100,000 and 150,000 indicate not the unwillingness but the inability of the Algerian government to control and to fight successfully with Islamic terrorists. Secondly, I think that the petitioner testified that for at least three occasions, not only two, and the third one, it appears like the government does not acknowledge was the most serious one when he was encountered by two people who threatened him with death. Again, I think that this case comes down pretty much to are there the proper circumstances for this court to acknowledge that even threats can rise to the level of past persecution. And as the Boykov court said, the threat must be of most immediate and menacing danger to reach this level. And again, I'm not aware of any other case except Hoar that found such circumstances proper for consideration of withholding of removal. But if the threat is so serious that makes you abandon your source of income, it is certainly of most immediate and menacing nature and danger.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Mr. Marrow and Ms. Morrow. Move to our next case, Jones.